Good morning, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gateway Community Church. Can you guys hear me okay? All right, awesome. So glad to see all of you in this place on this day. On behalf of myself and the elders of Gateway Community Church, we welcome all of you. I see some new faces I have not seen before. We're so glad and glad to God to have you with us. For all of you who are joining us live online, we're certainly glad to have you with us as well. Good to see the Singletons back in the house today. Carmen, we're happy to have you as well. We thank God for it. For those, just real quick inquiring, my family and I, we are getting stronger each day by the grace of God. And so I thank God for this opportunity to be in his presence and to be here with you guys today to share with you from the Word of God. Now, today we're going to be in Psalms 46 in our Bibles today. Psalms 46. And I know most of you've heard a preacher say time and time again, they claim that the Word of God is relevant to our circumstances. But this psalm that we're going to look at today, it really does speak in a special way to the situations we are going through in these days. And I hope you'll see that clearly by the time we get to the end of this day. Because we are continuously going through uncertain times, unsettling times, if you will, times that are causing people great concern. Even some people, they have a sense of fear that's there. You know, there's this virus they keep working on to get it under control, right? We have our ups and downs with that. It affects all of us in one way or another, some of us in greater ways. Certainly my family and I, we have experienced that. Schooling is compromised, right? Many of our restaurants are still closed. And obviously the big one obviously is the human lives that have been lost. That's just difficult to assess there. Now, while some of our church family have had to deal with the difficulties of having this virus, like I said, my family included, others, they've had to deal with other physical circumstances, if you will, or physical problems, and the economic problems that go along with that as well. And of course, we have to note the uncertainty in the political situation that's going on in our country, right? Because there is still belief that from some that great disaster is on the loom, right? It's on the horizon, if you will, that our country is headed for doom. Now, I can't stand up here and tell you that things won't get worse. I can't do that. The reality is there is an element of truth in that, because things may get worse. There may be more difficult times ahead in this country, but not specifically because of a particular party that controls the White House or Congress, but because the Bible says that man's heart is continuously wicked. And I'm not biased. I believe that that's true on both sides of the aisle when it comes to the political arena. And so to add to these difficulties, there is this growing opposition, if you will, in the world to anything that's biblical, anything that is godly. And not many care to know what the Bible says about these things or our problems. And even right here in our country, in the good old U.S. of A., there is a lot of religious rhetoric, if you will, but this country has become more comfortable. She is more open, if you will, to declaring her ungodliness. There is a boldness. We're living in a time that, regardless of clear evidence, we will call right wrong and wrong right, or we will just simply justify ourselves based on our biased positions. And all of this serves to put pressure on us as God's people. I'm reminded of something the Lord's brother James, when he writes to the believers that are scattered abroad, he says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you go through various trials." And that word various means multifaceted things, multiple colored trials of a variety of kind, because different trials, they impact all of us in different ways. Tucker, it's easy. It's easy when we're involved with a friend or a family member who's going through a trial, and we can encourage them, right? And we can share from Scripture with them, because it's not really impacting us personally. We don't get necessarily emotionally involved in that. But then when the trial comes into our lives, when it hits you personally and it strikes at your heart, we find ourselves a bit unsettled. That is the one thing that trials are good for us. That's what Scripture is trying to show us. And I know I'm making my way there. We learn how to trust the Lord and find him faithful in a variety of situations, really in all of our situations, if we will allow him. Now, that doesn't mean we enjoy the pain. It doesn't mean that we enjoy suffering. But we come to appreciate, as we look back on it, that it was a time of growth and God continuously proving how faithful he is. And that is what this Psalms 46 that we're going to look at today is about. In this psalm, the Jews, or the Hebrews rather, they are in a time of uncertainty. There is fear. There is not that clarity that we like to have in life, that, you know, I'm expecting this or I plan for this. You see, it's easy when you know what's coming, right? It's easy when you know what's coming, but what happens when the rubber hits the road, when things turn your world upside down and you don't know what you're going to do? It brings us to a place of fear. I don't know what to do. I don't know how this is going to work out. Elaine, I don't know how we're going to handle this. And Psalms 46 was written to remind these Jewish believers, and even remind the unbelievers in Israel at that time, of the greatness of God that is the God of Israel. And for the unbelievers, they were hopeless. They were in a hopeless position unless they turned to the God of Israel. And for the believers in this text, and I say believers because in the Old Testament, these were people of faith, people who believed God for his promises. So in that sense, they were believers. They needed to settle their confidence in God. And so just like them, as they prepare to look at this, we need to understand that every trial brings us this challenge, and it brings us this opportunity to trust God, to know that we are in God's care. Lamar, sometimes where's Lamar at? Lamar, sometimes we get caught up in our trials, right? We get caught up in our trials and our problems, and what we really need to do is stop and say, this is just another opportunity for us to grow, for me to trust again that God is faithful, and that I serve a faithful God and learn how he will bring me through this, or at least give me the grace that is sufficient to endure it. But so many of us miss the understanding of the blessings in the trials. So God, here in this psalm, we're getting ready to read it. He's challenging Israel in this Psalm 46 with their situation. It's a very discouraging situation, but it's a psalm that's relevant and, I believe, applicable, not just for Israel, but for us even today here in 2021. Let's read it together. Psalms 46. We're reading out of the NIV, the New International Version, for you at home. If your translation may read just a little bit different, but you can look on your screens and read along with us if you want to. So beginning at verse 1, the Bible reads this way. God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And finally, verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Today's message is simply entitled, In God's Care. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, it's that time again, God, that you give me this blessed opportunity to stand in your presence and before your people. And I pray now, God, that you would use me to not only encourage my own heart, but encourage the hearts of your people. I'm so excited, God, that you would give us this message for this day, God, to encourage us. And I pray that they will leave here, God, with a focus on you and you alone, regardless of what we see happening in our lives today. I pray that you're glorified by your word today, God, and may it accomplish all that you have will for it to accomplish. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In God's care. Haven't we all gone through something that we were just dreading it? And all you could do from being overwhelmed with fear, your uncertainty, you would just sometimes just keep repeating a verse over and over again. We love to say, Lord, you know, you promised me that you would never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, you said you will always be with me. Lord, you said you promised you would be with me. And we say these and we keep repeating these things over and over again. Why? Because we're trying to remind ourselves that God is with us. Now, that's good theology. But it begins to get a little woozy, right, when it comes time to apply that, right? When we're actually going through what we're going through, when we have to put that in practice under pressure. And so that is what God does through the psalmist in challenging Israel on what to do. And before we do that, there's something I need to point out very quickly here. There's a repeated phrase in this psalm, and it starts out with it, and it ends with it. Then it's in the middle of the psalms, in verse 1, then verse 7, then verse 11. It starts out with, God is our refuge, right? God is our strength, and he's our help. Then when you get down to verse 7, matter of fact, I'm looking up on the screen too. When you get down to verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Well, that's saying the same thing, just a different way. If God is our refuge, our strength, and our present help in the time of trouble, that's still saying the same thing as the Lord Almighty is with us. He is our fortress. And then verse 11 repeats what verse 7 says, that the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And so I needed to show you that because that's the emphasis of this. And what I want you to know is this was a psalm that was to be sung. So it's a song. That's what it is. It's a song. This was to be sung regularly as the Jews came to worship at the temple, and it would be impressed in their minds like we do with our songs today. You know, we'll sing a song and then we'll go home and you'll be singing that song over and over in your head. And you say, I can't get that song out my head. Well, that was part of the purpose of it. That's why the song was there. Tell us that when the world all around us. I'm sorry, I jumped to the wrong thing. So you need to understand this is a song that was to be sung by the Jews or by the Israelites when they came into the temple to worship, to remind themselves that God, that they were in God's care. So let's look at this first section here. Well, no, let me back up here again. This psalm here is to tell us when the world is all around us and even the world that's under us is crumbling, if you will, or collapsing, that the safe place was to be in God's care. So what's going to happen from verses 1 to 3 is almost like you break down a song or a stanza, if you will, and there's three stanzas, 1 to 3, 4 to 7, 8 to 11. So in the first stanza, 1 to 3, that's what he's going to talk about, that no matter if the whole world was crumbling around you, your God is in control. And then when you get to verses 4 through 7, he talks about how God is providing and in the midst of you, that even when these attacks come from the outside, you can be encouraged because God is your God. And then when he gets to verses 8 to 11, he will change our focus and he will say, come and see what the Lord has done. And he's going to tell us about how God finally does, what God finally does to his enemy, how he destroys his enemy and keeps his people. So he puts everything into perspective there. So let's look at the first section, the first 3 verses. Now, the historical context you need to understand this psalm is that Israel is under attack, perhaps by some enemy army. And this affects everything that they're going through right now. It affects the security of the people, their food and their water, and what about their families? And so if they are overwhelmed by the enemy, the question becomes, what in the world are they to do? There is, when you look at this text closely, there is fear that's there. And so Israel has this psalm to remind them that they are in God's care. And this psalm is supposed to draw them back to a focus on God. So the first 3 verses here is actually that we're going to look at, it speaks of the very worst thing that could happen. That again, if everything crumbled, and sometimes our situations feel like that, don't they? Sometimes our situation, whatever we're going through, it makes it feel like the world is ending. So verse 1 starts out this way. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. Go back to verse 1 for me, because many of us memorize this verse as God is our refuge and strength, and he's a very present help. I love this translation of saying he's a ever-present help, or it means always available in the time of trouble. And so here verse 1 brings us to what I was saying, the focus is on God. And you've got to get that, because he's trying to get the believers to see that it's not, your focus should not be on your problems. They got an army outside these walls ready to attack them. And this song says, or the psalmist is reminding them that God is your refuge, your strength, and your help. So the focus has to be, we have to stop and get our attention focused back on God, who he is and what he promises. And so look at the 3 words again. Your refuge, your strength, or our refuge, our strength, and our present help. Refuge here, that points to the protection that's there. He's a fortress around us, if you will. He is our strength. That talks about the inner fortitude as a believer, especially today. It's talking about the Holy Spirit being your strength that you have from God, that holds you up, that keeps you going, that doesn't let you fold. I know I've read a lot lately about how the times that we're going through has brought so much emotional and physical pain that it's even carried over into people's mental stability. But the psalmist reminds us that God is your refuge. He's your fortress. He is your inner fortitude. He is your strength. And he is our help, meaning he provides everything that we need. And I love that it says ever-present help here. One translation says it's an abundantly available help, an abundantly available help. He's always there in every situation. So he's like a fortress around me. He's my refuge. He is the one that whenever we're going through or whenever I'm going through, he is the one I retreat to. You see, the Jews, they would readily understand this because you know what happened? Many of them, they lived out in farming areas, right, around the city. And the city was built like a fortress. Jerusalem is in view here, and it would have these high walls up on it so that it could ward off an attack from an enemy. So whenever an enemy comes or an army comes to act, the people would move from their farmlands and they would move into the protection of the city walls. So they would readily understand that in those days, that the walls provided protection in, and that's where their strength was, inside the walls. And so this psalm is supposed to remind them, because they had taken their focus off God and started looking at the physical, God is to be your fortress. The God of Israel is to be your strength. He is your present help. He has everything you need and will provide for you in the time of trouble. And this word trouble here, it's also translated in tight places. It's like when you're in that circumstance or situation and you feel like you're paralyzed, you feel like you can't breathe, that kind of trouble. God is supposed to be your refuge, your strength, and your health. When you're in the tightest places and you have nowhere to turn, you feel like you can't even count on family. You feel like you've thought of everything you can think of and you don't know what to do. That's what he's talking about here. He is your refuge, strength, and ever-present help in trouble. So we've established who he is and what he does for his people to start with. Then in verse 2, this is where we get in trouble. Because see, we amen verse 1. Then we get to verse 2, we says, therefore, we will not fear. So when it comes to applying what verse 1 said, then things get a little bit out of focus for us. But KP, you don't have any idea what I'm going through. You don't have any idea what has happened and transpired in my life over the past few weeks, couple of months, or couple of years. You don't understand. But I know who does. Back to verse 1. God does. He has it all under control. I am his. I belong to him. He is my refuge, my strength, and my abundant help in the time of pressure, tight places, trouble. Now, unless he fails, which I don't believe God can, the scripture says, I have nothing to fear. Yeah, KP, I hear you, but it's not that simple. Don't we say that we have this common phrase, life is not that simple, right? I believe we complicate it. We're the ones that complicate it. What happened to a people that walks by faith and not by sight? And so what we start to do, Elaine, we start to turn to the world for our solutions. We look to our government to fix the problem or some other outside worldly solution. Now we don't verbally say it, but with our actions, they speak for us. And that's what's happening with Israel. When I give you more to the context of this, they thought help had to come from outside because this was one of those situations that God was just not enough. Again, we would not dare say that with our mouths. But our actions, we'll go rob Peter to pay Paul. We'll do all kinds of things looking for other solutions except for trusting in God. And what we're really saying with our action, God, you're not sufficient. And what Israel was saying here is, God, we can't see you. We can see that army outside these walls. We can't see you, but we see them sitting out there. So they can come in here at any time. And that's how we do with our problems and our situations. We're so focused on the problems and situations, and even though we're not saying it with our mouths and our hearts, we've looked away from God. The God we say is all-powerful, all-knowing, who's sovereign. And see, we may not be like Israel. We're not faced with a literal army outside our walls. But some of the problems that we're faced with, it feels like that. I'm about to lose my mind. I feel like everything around me is about to fall. So the psalmist says, you know what? I'm going to put it on a broader scale here, a bigger scale than anybody in here in Israel has ever had to endure. He says, therefore, we will not fear. Look at this. I'm going to put it on a broad scale. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and mountains quake, with that surgeon, he's basically saying here, even if the entire world was to disintegrate, that's what he's talking about here. Think of an earthquake in such a magnitude that you start to see all the mountains in the world start to slide away. Everywhere in the world, where do you go? What do we do? You know how we see those videos of people who are experiencing floods or earthquakes? We see them running for their lives, right? Trying to find refuge, trying to find some safe place to go. Now imagine the entire world that way. This is what the psalmist says. I don't know what each individual person, psalmist said, let me just put it on a massive scale here though. Imagine the entire world like that. That's the worst it can get. No solid ground nowhere. No place to hide nowhere. What do you do? And I believe he's using a hyperbole here because they're really not experiencing that in this particular context. They're not experiencing earthquakes or mountains crumbling or anything. There's an army outside of their walls. So the ground is not shaking here. But he's taking this massive hyperbole here to say, even if all of this was happening, you're looking outside and looking at that little army out there. But even if all of this was happening, he says, you don't have to fear. Why? Because back to verse 1, God is our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help. You don't have to fear because if you belong to him, you are in God's care. And now in verses 4 to 7, he has moved from that broad, all-encompassing worldwide environment. And he says, okay, let's get down to the specific thing that you're dealing with. The specific city of Jerusalem, again, they're being under assault here, and the people have retreated to the city because that's where they would go, right, for their safety. And so he says here in verse 7, there's a river whose streams make glad. I said 7, I meant 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High, the Most High dwells. Now, sometimes what happened to Israel here is, and it was a growing problem, they again looked at the physical things for their safety, right? So they saw that, look, we've got this impregnable city. We got this city with these walls built up around it. We got ample supplies. We're good. And we'll see that we got water here in the city. We're good. And I believe we can relate to that because we believe ourselves to be the most powerful, resourceful country there is. We boast about having the most powerful military in the world. And yes, I thank God for our military. But we must never, ever transfer our confidence in God, our confidence from God to these things. Your hope and your confidence cannot be in your military. Your hope and your confidence cannot be in physical things, is what he's getting to here. He's about to talk about this in just a second here. So when we come to verses 4 and 7, this is the opposition of the enemies. And it comes from the outside. There's an army outside the walls. And so the attack is coming. And the people are worried about that. And we can relate because we see this in our country. What happens, right? We don't necessarily have an army outside, but we'll see things like what just recently happened in the election, and we'll get worried and scared and say, oh, the world's going to come to the end. All the disaster that's about to happen. But verse 4 and 7 is a reminder of God's provision. Verse 4 and 7 says, there's a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. So here Jerusalem is under attack. But unlike most cities now, Jerusalem was not built on a river. It was not built on a river. Most of the time you would think it would be wise you build a city on a river. And yet God saw to it that they would have water. When you read the New Testament, you talk about the Pool of Siloam. It's really the stream. It's a stream, and it supplies all the other pools that are within the city. This was a river whose streams made glad the city of God. That's why it was a refuge for them. They were looking at the physical thing, not realizing it was God who provided that so that you could have what you need. And to really appreciate this, Jerusalem is a desert kind of place. And so water would be a necessity. You had to have it. And the refreshing of water becomes a picture of God's provision. And that's why it says there's a river whose stream make glad the city of God. There was a literal spring that provided water, but they missed the point. It was the provision of God that made that possible for them. But they started again looking at the physical things rather than the God who took care of it. Now, go to verse 5 for me. God is within her, the city that where the river makes this city glad. God is within her, talking about him being there, that ever-present help, ever-present being there. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Can you imagine them? And I encourage you, go back and read Isaiah chapter 8, and you read about how the Assyrian army surrounds Jerusalem. And I'm talking about, you're talking about like 200,000 soldiers surrounding them, and they're looking out there at this massive army, and they're like, oh my God, at any moment these people can come and try to tear down the city. And look at what the text says, God is within her. She will not fall. And if you go on and you read that text, what happens? The Syrian army said, you know what, we're going to lay down and go to sleep tonight, and we'll get up and attack tomorrow. And God says, yeah, you go down and lay down and go to sleep, but this will be your last night. Out of 200,000, 180,000 of them died that night. No war, no fighting. They didn't have to do anything to defend themselves. It wasn't their walls that saved them. It wasn't their ample supplies of water that helped them. It was their God who was their refuge. It was because they were in God's care. And so the leader of the Syrian army gets up, got 20,000 left. What does he do? We're going to go on and take this city. No, he took his little remnant and went back home. And even when he got back, you know what happened to that leader? His own sons kills him when he gets back. God, talk about God fighting your battles. God is within her. How does this relate to you and I as believers today? If you belong to him, Jesus says, look, I want you to have peace, but I do need you to understand in this world you're going to have trouble. But what? Take heart. Be encouraged. Why? Because I have overcome the world. I'm going to send you a comforter, a helper. The Holy Spirit, God is within you. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. And this has become, and again, that would have been more relevant to them from the sense of at daybreak, when they got up, that whole massive army that was out there was no more. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. And I love this because a lot of times in the scripture, especially the Old Testament, it speaks as if God, when God speaks, as there's a thunder or a roar. And it simply means him talking, him speaking a word. So what God did was not use their armies, not use their walls. He just spoke a word. And I need you to understand, if you're in God's care, all he has to do is speak a word. That's all he got to do. Look at nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. God can just lift his voice and the earth melts away. Now, while this is something that's happening in there, you can also go and read Isaiah and you'll learn that this is actually going to happen in the end. There's going to come a time when this earth will crack open and mountains and stuff will quake. As a matter of fact, it speaks about how the people living during that time, because I don't believe I'll be here, the people living during that time, they're going to wish that the rocks would fall on them. So it's also talking about a future time that's going to happen. The believers that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, I believe, will be raptured, but I believe there will be people during that time who can still be saved, but they're going to have to endure that. God is in the midst of her. God is within her. She will not fall. She will not be moved. God spoke up, and when he spoke, or when it thundered, he raised his voice, the earth melted. Look at verse 7. I believe it ties right back to verse 1. The Lord of hosts For the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And you gotta, God, unless God revealed himself to us, we wouldn't know anything about him. And what he wants us to know about him, he has revealed in scripture. The Lord Almighty, it speaks to his power. There is nothing too difficult or hard for our God. The Lord Almighty. Do you know what, no matter what you're going through out there, the Lord Almighty, if you're a believer, and I'll talk to the unbeliever in a minute, the Lord Almighty is with us. Sometimes referred to as the God of Jacob. He is our fortress. Now, I don't care what man-made fortress you got, what country appears to be the most powerful, military or otherwise, everything is vulnerable. The only person in this world is God. He is the Almighty. He is. If you know him to be your fortune, it's the only unbreakable place. The Lord Almighty is with us in God's care. You can experience the power of God and the protection of God. So come to verse 8 here. Some people don't like to read the book of Revelation, but you'll hear me when I say I encourage you to go back and read the chapters before, at least read the first chapter and the last chapter of a book. But I'm going to encourage you, go and read Revelations here, because it tells you how everything is going to end. But look at what verse 8 says. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. We're going to keep reading here. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And all of this speaking about a time when, regardless of what we see going on today, there's going to come a time when God will establish his kingdom here on earth. When he will do away with every single thing that we're... This is why when you get to Revelation, they'll talk about no more tears, no more pain. This is where the reason that the bows will be broken and the shatters of spear, there will be no more war. He makes wars to cease. There will be no need for weapons. There will be no such thing as the lion hunting its prey. They will lay down together. There will be a peace like never before. If you're in God's care. He says the hardest thing for all of us to do, this is what he says, you have to be still and know that I am God. My grandmama would say it and repeat it over and over, when you know what you know, what you know. You got to know that he is God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yes, I know you got people ridiculing and mocking the Christian, talking about, yeah, you've been saying your God coming back for years now. Your grandmama said it. Your great-great-grandmama said it, and her grandmama said it too. But God is not slack concerning his promises. He's just being patient, desiring that people repent so that they could be saved. But make no mistake about it. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. He says, there will come a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But the only reason, and also in Isaiah, you keep reading it, it'll, especially in 8 and 9, it talks about the judgment that's going to come on this earth. And when you read it, it's just horrible. When you see all the things that God is going, when he finally do come back and he brings judgment up on the earth, he says, I will be exalted among the nations. There will be a time, regardless of what you think about it now, you can mock, you can laugh, you can procrastinate. There will come a time when we will get the praise, the honor, and the glory that he is due. But for those who are in God's care, you don't need to fear. I don't know what you're going to see on the news when you get home today. I don't know what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. All I do know is there is safety and security for the believer in Jesus Christ. Go to this last verse and he repeats it again. It's all about, Is he who he say he is? Do you believe him to be who he say he is? Is he the Lord God Almighty? Do you believe him when he said he is your refuge, your strength, and your present, your ever-present help? If nothing else, this pandemic has highlighted, at least to me, how neither our government leaders nor economic growth, anything like that alone, is enough to sustain economies and societies. I know we trust in that stuff. And truthfully, it was never meant to be that way anyway. Man was never meant to thrive and be self-sustaining. God was, God is, and God always will be the sustainer of all things. What this psalm is telling us is the only place of security in an uncertain world, in a world filled with oppositions and trials and difficulties, is that our God is unchanging, that our God is faithful. He is the faithful source of all of our help, our strength, and our protection. God says, you need to understand what you guys need is a Savior. And by the grace of God, we have one, only one. His name is Jesus. Came down 42 generations. Made flesh, and his disciples beheld his glory. And we talked about that glory last week when we looked at Jesus, looked at the irrefutable evidence of all the signs that Jesus performed of his glory. Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that if you repent and believe in him, you can have life in his name. Believe, repent, believe in his sacrificial death for your personal sins, that he paid the penalty for your personal sins, you can have life in his name. And here's the cherry on top. That places you in God's care. In God's care. We don't worry like the world worries. Doesn't mean we don't plan. Doesn't mean we don't have a part in this in the sense of doing what you know to do. But we don't fall apart like the rest of the world. And even when things appear that they may even get worse or be getting worse, we have to remind ourselves, as these believers had to be reminded through song, that God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our ever-present help. He is God Almighty. The God of Jacob is with us. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for what I consider a timely reminder. And I'll admit, God, I'm guilty. I'm guilty as well, God, of the application of it. It's easy to quote scriptures, God, but when we find ourselves in those circumstances, in those situations, God, may my heart be strongly convicted that you do or you will never leave or forsake me. And not only are you just there, God, you're going to provide the protection that I need. You're going to provide everything that I need. And that if I don't have it, then that means your grace is sufficient for me. Help me always focus, God, that when I go through, it's another opportunity to grow. And it's another opportunity to witness the glory of your faithfulness. And I pray this as well for those under the sound of my voice, God. I pray that if there's a conviction that they're not sure, if they are in your care, that they understand that it's as easy as giving their lives to you, by acknowledging that they are a sinner and that Jesus Christ paid it all with his death on the Calvary, and that in him not only do they have life, but they find themselves completely and utterly in your care, a fortitude and a fortress that is unbreakable. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Joy plays soft, I'm going to ask you to stand. Just give you an opportunity, you at home and you, those of you here and you at home, to reflect on what we talked about today. Think about it. Where has your confidence been? Has it been in physical things? Have you been trusting, completely trusting in the Lord? Then I pray and ask that you'll talk with him right now. Those who are here in person, we give you an opportunity. You can come to my left, your right, or you can kneel at the altar. You can have a conversation with the Lord by way of prayer. Nobody bothers you. That's between you and the Lord. Maybe you want somebody who's trained as an encourager to come and be with you, or pray for you. You can come to my right, your left, and kneel. Someone who's trained will come and do something. If you're home and maybe you don't know what to pray and you're saying, I wish somebody would pray with me, then put it on the Facebook page and we'll have somebody contact you. Now, there is no secret power in your coming forward, but there is something about accountability when you do that, especially in the presence of others, right? When you come forward saying, Lord, I yield, I yield. I know you were speaking to me. I didn't think about it, God, but I can look at it and say, yeah, I really was looking at outside sources for my help. But I come today to renew, God, and say, my faith and my trust is completely in you and you alone, and to thank him that we are in God's care. Won't you come?
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Thing. I was sitting there as he was playing. I was thinking about the story of Elisha when he was worried that they were surrounded by an army. And Elijah had to tell him, Lord, will you open this boy's eyes and let him see who is with him? And when God opened his eyes and he saw the angelic host, and he saw the army of God surrounding them. And see, we got to know that and understand that there is more than just this physical world. What is equally as real as this physical world is the spiritual world where our God dwells in his host, in his heavenly army. The one who is ready to do battle for on our behalf, the one who is ready to provide for our every need. We just have to do what the text says, be still and know that he is God. Now, what I really love about this, like I said, this was a song that they had to sing it and remind themselves over and over and over when they come to worship. So when you find yourself going through and it feels like I'm going through this trouble that I feel like I can't breathe. I feel like I'm about to lose my mind. Go, come back to Psalms 46 and remind yourself over and over and over. God, you are my refuge, my strength. God, you are my ever-present help. You are always with me. You are the Lord. Remind yourselves of this over and over and over. I am in God's care. Amen. I've been encouraged by the word of God. I hope you have as well. Again, thank you guys so much for joining us today. So good to see some of you, many of you, or all of you rather, who are here with in in-person worship service. Again, as always, we're glad for the avenue of live streaming. Love to see you here in person. We're doing one service for in-person worship at 10 a.m. each Sunday. We also love you, for you to join us on Wednesday night for Bible study, going through the book of Corinthians there. All scripture is relevant, but Corinthians just seems to speak to a lot of where we are today. And that is at 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock prayer time, right before the Bible study. So I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. I'll pray for us, and then you guys will be dismissed. Father, you know, thank you so much for our time together, God. We thank you for the grace that you've shown, God, for us to be in this place. I think many of us undermine, God, how much of a grace it is that we are in our right minds, and that you gave us a mindset to, whether they're in this place physically or even joining live, God, that was even by your grace. So I thank you for the health and strength of our bodies, God, and our minds, God, so that we would be a part of your service today. God, as these people prepare to leave this place, I pray your favor and your blessings upon their lives, God. I pray, God, that you strike a zeal in the hearts of those who are your children, that they know and that they have a confidence that they are in your care, God, and that they never need fear anything. That come what may, you take care of your own. God, thank you again for blessing us through your word. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.